Hi everyone, welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. I have a great guest on today. He's been on the show before, but he was so good I had to bring him back. So Ray, welcome back to the show.
Hi Nancy, thank you so much for having me back and Happy New Year to you.
You too. It's always a pleasure having you, Ray. You have a lot of good information that you're going to be sharing with the listeners today. And if people want to call in and ask questions, you know, they can. But most of the time, I'm just going to be talking to you and just picking on you. Is that okay?
Sure. That's fine with me, Nancy.
Okay, Ray, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and kind of how you started on, you know, your journey? Because you've got a lot going on.
Well, actually, you know what? My journey has been very progressive. It's been very natural. It's been very organic. And I consider myself a psychic astrologer. Now, what that means is that basically I'm trained as an astrologer, and I believe anyone who truly has the desire to learn astrology can be trained in astrology, learn the basics, learn the planetary meaning, learn how the energies work, and build upon that. When I was very young, I noticed about myself that I was very intuitive. However, I really didn't understand the energy and how it was working, and I always say that when I was very young, I had what I call to be psychic disturbances because I could see and sense spirit energies around me at night. And at the time, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have anyone around me who could really explain this to me. I remember actually very clearly, I would get impressions of an older woman in my bedroom at night, and it turned out that this individual was my mother's aunt who had passed away many, many, many years before I was born, and she in fact died in the house where that I grew up. So I always knew I had some kind of a connection to something. I just didn't know how to put it into words, and I was always fascinated with the paranormal, the metaphysical, and the spiritual. And then as I progressed through my teenage years and into my early 20s is when I started learning astrology. I worked with instructors. I learned on my own. However, there was, for the most part in my younger years, I didn't put the psychic and the astrology stuff together. It was always kind of separate. And I was working for most of my adult life. I was working in the corporate world. I always did the astrology, but that was kind of like my night job. However, I knew that I really wanted to make more of a contribution to humanity. I always knew I was going to do something significant. I wasn't sure what until after September 11th, and that was a wake-up call for me, as it was for all of us, that, you know what, I need to do something to contribute to the betterment and the inspiration of humanity. And that's really kind of like why I do what I do. I always, you know, I want to be able to inspire someone to see, you know, what's greater in themselves that they may not see, and I do that through astrology. And through this journey, the psychic, the astrology stuff started coming together, and I didn't even really realize what was happening until I looked back, and I began realizing how just intuitively I would know and see what was happening in an individual's life in conjunction with what was happening on an astrological level, and that helped me take what I was doing to a much deeper level, and I do believe that that came through my desire to be of greater service to humanity. So it was very, very progressive, very organic how I came to this point. And I will add to that, it's because I chose to do this, and that's why I'm able to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Ray, do you think that everybody has certain gifts, or everybody has gifts that's kind of stored in them? All they have to do is kind of awaken them?
Actually, you know, a lot of people, you know, say to me, you know, they refer to what I do as having a gift. Now, I don't consider what I have as a gift. I believe that we all have these abilities. Just, for example, just like we all have arms and legs, however, we're not Olympic swimmers like Michael Phelps. We have these abilities within us. I believe, you know, if it was a gift per se, that would say that the universe is favoring one over the other. Yes, I do very much believe that we have this intuitiveness nature about us. I believe it's part of our nature, and I believe that this was how we were designed by nature so that we can be connected and feel the connection that we have to one another.
Do you think now, because you made the statement that everybody can learn it, and I believe that's true, but it's not, you can't just pick up a book and learn how to do astrology and cover it all in a week. Is that?
Well, I believe if you have the desire to learn it, maybe I wasn't clear. I said if an individual has the desire to learn astrology, I believe that it can be learned. And I will also add to that you, one, never stop learning astrology. I've been studying astrology for probably more than 25 years now, and I am still a student of astrology. I'm always learning more. And it goes back to my desire to learn astrology. So.
I agree with everything you're saying so far, Ray, because I really believe everybody really does have that, you know, that ability, whatever it may be that they choose to follow. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it takes time. It takes
absolutely.
Constantly looking forward and looking for other information, because
absolutely.
Learning everything just one way isn't necessarily the right way to do it.
Yes. We have to be open to many possibilities. You know, I've always become very mindful to not allow my thinking to be rigid. I'm always open to new possibilities, you know, and I like to see what other people do and just to notice, to observe, and I always come to my own conclusions. I take what I've learned, what I have experienced, and I would always come to my own conclusions. And this is what works for me. You know, it may not necessarily work for someone else. I just offer it as a possibility.
See, I think, Ray, it is really important, the statement that you just made, is that it works for you. I think people can't, well, they shouldn't, I'll put it that way, duplicate, you know, like if they have a teacher, they shouldn't necessarily duplicate every single thing that instructor is telling them, because
absolutely.
Then it's not themselves doing it.
Correct. I'm always inspiring my clients to really, you know, when I'm looking at their charts, to look within themselves. I will offer you my interpretation of what I possibly see in your life. However, I will strongly urge you to look within yourself and come to your own decisions based on your own experiences, your own philosophies, your own way of thinking, and really live that way. Because we're very individual. You know, in my book, you know, I talk about the astrological chart, and I describe it as being as individual as a snowflake. You know, we are very much so individuals, and I'm always encouraging each of us to really, you know, sometimes move past our fears, because sometimes, you know, we're afraid to look within ourselves. However, I believe that when we push ourselves to move past those fears, I think we find some very, very beautiful things within ourselves. So,
and Ray, while you're talking about, let's talk about your book. Now, you've written more than one book, though.
I only have one right now that's available, yes. I have many in the works, but one that's available
okay.
right now.
Because I was going to say, I know there's more yet to come, but let's talk
yes.
about the one that's out.
Sure.
And then we'll talk
sure.
a little bit about the ones that are still yet to come.
Okay, absolutely. So well, my book is called The Planets Align So Rare, 12 Dimensions of the Human Potential, and you can find a lot of information about that on my website, actually, at astrologerray.com. And now, my book, you know what, when I set out to write this book, first I have to say that I was guided to write this book. The inspiration came to me in a moment of divine inspiration. Now, for many years, you know, I've always been a writer. I've always written articles, pieces for magazines. However, I wasn't sure really what I wanted to elaborate on in a book. And I just, you know, that was the thought I had out to the universe. I really wasn't certain about it. And I knew I was coming to a point where I was going to begin a very significant writing project. And it was actually at I believe it was the summer of 2005, I was actually at an outdoor concert, and I find music to be very, very inspiring, and I was just very much so in the flow of the music, of the energy, and very, very clearly, I literally heard the title of the book and exactly how it was structured, and it was a little surprising, but it was one of those breakthrough, brilliant aha moments. I remember coming home, and I keep a journal, and I wrote the title of the book, and I jotted down some notes while it was still fresh in my memory. And the title is still pretty close to what it originally was. And from that moment, from that night, everything just came together and very naturally so that I could work on this material. And I knew I did not want to write an astrology book. Now, my book, it is based on astrological principles. However, I talk about these energies that we all possess, that each and every one of us possess, and how we can possibly, you know, elaborate on those energies and use them so that we can benefit ourselves as well as humanity. Because I see, when I look at an astrological chart, to me, that is an individual's human potential. That is what they can potentially realize at any point in their life based on their own free will. And I'm always encouraging my clients to know that they do have a free will and their choices. And through that free will and those choices, these energies come alive in however way that they so choose them to.
Right. And I do the same thing as you do. I keep trying to get people to understand that they do have this free will, that, you know, just because somebody tells you something, it is not carved in stone.
Correct.
And yet people will, you know, not want to make any changes, you know, whether it's because they want that whatever's been told to them happen or because they're just afraid to make a change after that point. So, you know, when you're telling people to, you know, kind of use their own free will, do people say, oh, that's easy, or do they say that's hard, or, gee, I don't know how to do that?
It actually, I'd say all of the above. It really depends on the individuals. Some individuals get the information very, very quickly, and they understand it, and they know that they are empowered, and some struggle with it a little bit more. And, you know, you have to just allow the individual to proceed at their own pace. I would never, you know, superimpose my own, you know, free will or understanding on another's, upon another's. I will offer you my, you know, interpretation of what I see happening, you know, with you. However, again, I will go back to saying, you know what, it's really up to you what's going to happen. And it really depends on the individual how they're going to take the information and what they're going to choose to do with it. So.
And again, I think it's real important that people understand that, you know, it is their free will and they can make those changes.
Absolutely.
You know, and in the way I tell people is like, you know, I can kind of see what's going to be going on, but it really is up to you to do whatever it is that you want this outcome to be.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, if everything were written in stone, then we're really just living out a script. You know, how are we playing, you know, what part are we playing all this? We're really, you know, living out some sort of, you know, divine script, if you will. I believe, and again, you know, as I encourage my clients to understand that they do have a free will and that not everything is written in stone, that everything, these are possibilities. When we look at charts, when we look at planetary trends, we're looking at possible outcomes to combinations of energies. And I believe in those outcomes, there can be many other outcomes dependent upon our choices that we make at a given time. And at any given moment, if we choose to turn left or we choose to turn right, you know, we have that option. And then from that choice, then we have other options. So it's just, it's kind of, when you think about it, I think it's just beautifully designed how we have all these possibilities, you know, and we don't have to do certain things certain ways. We have so many options, and when we're open to those possibilities, when we allow our minds to receive divine inspiration, we become co-creative with the universe, because I truly believe that's why we are here, to experience ourselves as creative beings. And many, you know, many works, many books say the same thing. So, you know, it's really about creating, co-creating, and experience ourselves as divine beings.
Okay, now, give out the name of your book again and your website and any place else they might be able to get your book at.
Sure. My website is astrologerray.com. That's astrologerray.com. The title of the book is The Planets Align So Rare, 12 Dimensions to the Human Potential. It's available at Barnes & Noble bookstores as well as online at Amazon.com, Borders, and a few other websites. And all those links are on my website, in the book section of the website.
Okay. Now, you talk, well, I mean, you send out a newsletter to people.
Correct. A couple times a month I'll send out information regarding the full moon, the new moons, as well as any other upcoming predictions that I have available on my website, as well as where you can find me.
Why is it important to know about the moons?
Well, everything, basically, you know what, everything in nature is cyclical. And, you know, one of the strongest relations we can make are to the cycles of the moon. You know, and that is a very, I think that's a great basic principle to understand how these planetary energies work. The new moons, it's a time for beginning. It's a time for planting seeds, the putting energies into motion, and the full moons bring those energies to fruition. So when we understand the ebb and flow of the lunar cycles, we can, you know, we can see how that can fit into our own lives. And I really do believe that, you know, the universe offers us these energies so that we can incorporate them into our own existence. And when we understand how they operate on a vibrational level, we work with those energies. I always say, you know, when you're working with planetary energies, it's kind of like, you know, a surfer riding the wave. He's really got to know how to ride with that wave so that he can, you know, just, you know, go with the flow of energy. It's kind of like the same thing with lunar cycles and planetary cycles. So I always, you know, I put out that information to, you know, again, inspire individuals to, at the new moon, you know what, it's time to plant some seeds. Here's how these energies can work for you, incorporate them into your own existence, and go from there. And possibly by the time of the full moon, you can see the beginnings of how these energies are working for you.
The full moon has a strange energy. I mean, I know a lot of people who are in the law enforcement, and they say, man, when that full moon is there, people are just nuts. Can you maybe explain to the listeners why that big old beautiful full moon does that?
Well, what it does is actually the full moon, what it does at the time of a full moon, the moon and the sun are directly opposing each other, and it's like a pull of energy. And not only are the sun and moon involved, I understand that whatever other planetary energies are happening at the time of the full moon, those energies are amplified as well. So, you know, on a vibrational level, you know, it heightens the energy. And sometimes, and, you know, because of, you know, we're not always conscious of how energy operates, there's a surge of energy. And we just don't know, for the most part, how to deal with it in a positive and productive way. So that's how my understanding of why things happen the way they do on a full moon. You know, police have much activity, hospitals. It's like there's all this energy, and we don't know how to direct the energy, and it's misdirected energy. And if we are that much more aware that there's a surge of energy and how to direct it in a positive and productive way, it probably would be a little bit more harmonious during the time of the full moon.
Maybe. Now, you also talk a lot about Mercury going retrograde.
Oh, so yeah.
Before you start to talk about that, explain what retrograde means to
listeners. Oh, okay. Everyone, I tell you, everybody just loves Mercury retrograde. They just, you know, because I think that's like one of the more familiar terms that are out there. But when a planet goes retrograde, what happens is that the appearance of the vibration of the light that is coming from the planet, it makes it seem as though the planet stops and moves backwards in its orbit. However, I mean, the planets don't actually stop and change direction. It's an illusion of the planet from our Earth and its relation to how it's angled from the Earth. So, you know, if you, during a Mercury retrograde, or leading up to the time of a Mercury retrograde, if you watched Mercury position every night in the sky, you would notice that it was moving in one direction, then appear to stand still, and then move backward in its orbit, and then again appear to stand still and continue moving forward in its orbit. So it's really, I don't like to call it an optical illusion, but it kind of is, and what it does is it just changes that planet's vibrational energy. Now, all the planets go retrograde except the sun and the moon. All the planets will appear to move backwards in their path. Now, with Mercury, because Mercury is a planet of communication during the retrograde times, there's miscommunications. We have trouble, you know, with our telephones. The things are delayed. We have excessive traffic jams. You know, however, just like with all the planetary energies, they do serve it, their purpose. You know, you don't want to, you know, during a Mercury retrograde, you don't want to just, you know, stay in the house and run and hide and, you know, jump under the covers. There are beneficial ways to use those energies. One in particular is to become reacquainted with old friends. If, you know, if during the retrograde, you know, you start thinking of someone that you haven't heard from in a very long time, that's the universe's way of saying, you know what, maybe you need to reach out to that person. It's a time to reconnect with people that we've perhaps lost touch with. It's also a great time to clean up loose ends. If there are any projects during around the house that just have been lingering, that have been finished, you do that during a Mercury retrograde. You finish writing letters. Anything that needs completion, you do it during a Mercury retrograde. And it's a time to go within the self. It's a time to go within, to meditate and reconnect with our internal self. So those are a couple of beneficial ways to use a Mercury retrograde.
If somebody starts a business during, well, at the beginning of a Mercury, you know, retrograde, can you explain that to listeners? Because a lot of people go, I can't do this. There's a Mercury retrograde going on.
Well, you know, I also say that, you know, during Mercury retrograde, we don't throw logic completely out the window. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, we'll establish our businesses during times when Mercury is direct, and we'll look at other planetary energies. But we have to look at what's happening, the overall picture. We have to look at the other planetary aspects at that time as well. I mean, of course, you know, I would not suggest, if possible, not to start a business during a Mercury retrograde, because there could be delays. If you're filing corporate paperwork, there could be delays in the filing, which could literally, you know, take years. The business may just not feel like it's moving forward, depending upon the nature of the business. So, you know, I mean, ideally, you wouldn't want to start a Mercury retrograde, start a business during a Mercury retrograde. However, I would also suggest, if for some reason, you know, you're being an individual is working with energies, and it just seems like that is the right time to start the business, I would go with that and then look at the chart and see why this might be the time to do it. So it could serve a purpose as well, depending on all the other factors involved as well. So.
Does Earth go retrograde also?
No, because we observe
okay.
we observe from the Earth. It'd be kind of hard to, you know. Well, actually, you know what? That's a very interesting question. I guess if you were on a planet looking at the Earth, it would appear to go retrograde. However, because we are on Earth, we don't feel the vibration of it going backwards. So that's kind of interesting. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before.
You might want to take a look at that to find out how come there's so much
very interesting
going
that
strange
very,
on this Earth.
that's very interesting, because you would have to be on another planet to see the Earth going to be going retrograde. Now, just I'll put this out there. I mean, when we're on Earth and we see Mercury going retrograde, if we're on another planet, it may not necessarily be going retrograde.
Okay.
So it's all kind of like relative to where we are.
And what we're basically.
Stick with the Earth-bound, Earth-centered astrology and not worry too much about Earth.
I've always been curious about it. You know, I've been curious about it because, you know, every single astrologer that I have talked to talks about all the planets going retrograde.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not one of them, Ray, has ever said anything about Earth. And I thought, now, you know, the statement he made, the sun and the moon don't go retrograde, but all the other planets do. And I'm going, okay, so then what about Earth?
Yeah. Well, like I said, if we were observing the Earth from another planet, it would be going retrograde, and the Earth's vibration to that planet is changing. However, I guess because we are on Earth and we're already part of its vibration, we're just going with it. I'm not sure about that one.
That might be something really interesting for you to check into, Ray. Nobody else has probably ever thought about that.
Well, you have. So.
Well, yeah, but I'm a little different. I'm a little strange sometimes. You know,
I think we're all a little strange doing what we do sometimes.
Yeah, I come up with a lot of different kind of strange
questions.
Yeah. People go, huh? You know, but that's all right.
Yeah.
What can I say? Yeah, it's fun. What else do I
have? It certainly is.
When they decided to make Pluto not a planet,
Pluto.
What happened to Pluto?
Poor Pluto.
And everything else that goes with it.
Actually, you know what? And this is, you know, I think Pluto's got a bum rap, and I find it just very interesting that how these brilliant scientists have to place labels on everything, and everything has to be a certain way and fit a certain shape and fit into a certain box. Regardless of what we call Pluto, Pluto is still Pluto. Its energy vibration is not going to change. Its orbit is not going to change. It's still doing what it's doing, regardless of what we in our humanness need to classify this heavenly body. So regardless, just, you know, like Shakespeare said, a rose by any other name, you know, it's kind of like the same thing with Pluto. It's still doing what it's doing. We astrologers know how powerful Pluto is. We still use Pluto the same way that we have before. So, you know, I just find it very interesting that, you know, everything needs to be one way or another. And I think, you know, the universe is like, well, you know what, I think we need to start thinking beyond, you know, what we think one thing should be and one thing should not.
Yeah, because when they said that, I thought, you know, now for years and 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 years, here Pluto's been a planet, and now all of a sudden, hey, Pluto's not a planet. So
yeah.
I thought, well, are you opening the door for a new planet to come in? So now supposedly, and I have not researched this, and maybe you have or can tell me, there is a thing about this planet called Planet X, mm-hmm. that some scientists think are, you know, either already in our path or it's coming into our path, which is going to make our Earth tilt, which is going to create all of these things that they're talking about for 2012.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think there are possibilities that there could be, you know, other planets out there. I think what's happening with this whole 2012 thing is more so a shift in consciousness. I think the Earth is possibly could shift on its axis. I think, you know, it actually did, wasn't it during the time of the tsunami, they actually measured that the Earth did change a little bit. And I believe that it's because of the vibration of humanity in conjunction with everything else that's going on. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting, and when Pluto, when all this was going on with Pluto, Pluto was, I don't know, some astrologers are familiar with the galactic center, which is the center of our galaxy, where there's this mm-hmm. supermassive black hole. The time that Pluto was going through all this, Pluto was exactly aligned with the galactic center. And I believe that, in my own way, that this is just our understanding of those, as astrologers, of that Plutonian energy began to change. I also think that, you know, as planets have been discovered, our scope of understanding is expanding, and those planetary discoveries work in conjunction with the understanding of the consciousness of humanity. When and if another planet, Planet X or whatever, is discovered, that will indicate a change in the vibration of humanity. So I think it has to do with how we are evolving in terms of our own consciousness, and that 2012 time frame, in fact, I think it's more so the 2010 through 2012 time frame, because there are significant eclipses that are also taking place, and I believe it's all part of the shift in consciousness, in the consciousness of humanity. I don't believe everything's going to just come to a screeching halt and it's going to be the end of civilization. I believe it's the ending of one cycle and the beginning of the next cycle. I'm anticipating and hoping that the next cycle is a cycle of a higher vibration where we all understand each other as being connected on a spiritual level.
I'm hoping the same. See, and what's really funny, Ray, is that, you know, everybody talks about 2012. Now, from the time I was 6 years old, all the way through now, all my angels have told me is 2010.
Yeah.
So when I hear people say 2012, it's like, well, no, folks, I really think you're missing a big part here, because
absolutely.
2010 is going to be something. You know, I'm not sure what, because they only give me whatever they want me to have.
Sure.
But that's what they have told me since I was a child, you know. And when I was a child, you know, 2010, that was way down the road, and who really cared? But all of a sudden it's like, okay, now it's just, you know, coming into being here. And they showed me, like, a lot of the changes that's going to be going on the Earth, and the Earth is going to make some changes, because it really does have to almost rebirth itself so that it can continue to survive from everything we're doing to it.
I think we're rebirthing right now. I understand everything that's happening right now. You know, I've sensed and seen the Earth, and I base my predictions on astrological cycles as well as my own visions, interpretations, as you do. You know, my guides, what I receive from spiritual energies, is that the Earth, especially in these last like 4 months, the Earth has been very dark. The energy has been very, very dark and very, very heavy, and I believe that that is encouraging, inspiring humanity to reconnect with the higher levels of consciousness, to reconnect to our source, because I think we've forgotten about it for a very, very long time. I believe that we touched on it a little bit during the time of September 11th, and I think we've forgotten about it again, and I believe that this time now, it's trying to get us to remember that we are connected to the higher levels of consciousness, to the God energy, to the Allah energy, whatever you want to call that divine energy, that each and every one of us, we have that connection. And I truly, honestly believe with my whole heart and soul, because this is something that I've been remembering through my own experiences, that when we remember that we have that connection to that God consciousness, you know what? We're going to be okay. And if we each, first and foremost, as individuals, remember that connection, it's going to ripple out. Regardless of what's happening in the outside world, it will become a ripple effect. And I believe that this is really what's going to shift, you know, the outcomes of the energies in the next few years. Quite honestly, you know, when I look at some of these charts, you know, it's a little unsettling. However, I also know that it does not have to be a crisis. It absolutely does not have to be a crisis. And I'm hoping that right now we realize this and remember our connection to the higher level of consciousness.
See, here's, you know, what probably bothers me, Ray, is that the media is thrown in, and they say many, many things. And, I mean, they truly don't have a lot of good things to say. So, you know, as we get closer to 2012, because they're not thinking 2010 like what we are, but closer to 2012, I'm really afraid that because the media is the media, they're going to come up with all kinds of stuff starting probably toward the middle to the end of this year, talking about how horrible 2012 is going to be. And I agree with you. I don't think it has to be that bad. The planet is not going to stop, and it's not going to explode, and everybody's going to die. That's not it. But there are going to be a lot of changes. And you know, not everybody's going to make those changes, because not everybody's ready for those changes.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's okay, you know, that really is okay. But a lot of people that I've been, like, talking with, you know, and counseling, and as you mentioned, since about 4 months, probably like 4 to 6 months, they all have this sense of depression going on inside of them, and they don't quite understand why. You know, I mean, even if they turned off their televisions, it's just that sense. And I think, again, a lot of it has to do with what you mentioned about the Earth being kind of dark with its own energy right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to pass, you know. It's going to pass.
Yeah.
But people are constantly, constantly living in fear, talking themselves into just strange things as far as I'm concerned. And they're not willing to sit back and say, okay, show me really what it is I'm supposed to know here.
Yeah, and that's actually, you know, that's a very good point that you make, because, you know, just, you know, I always say, you know what, I'm not above any or beyond, you know, above any challenges in life, because I, you know, I find that I've been very much just, and I, you know, I like to talk about my own experiences, because that's really, you know, where I get a lot of the information. And in just for myself, in these last few months, I've been so very challenged, you know, personally and professionally, you know, and I've had my own very, very dark moments. And in those dark moments, I'm remembering that, you know what, I am connected to a higher level of consciousness. And I'm also remembering to allow the inspiration and the guidance to move through me. And I believe when we say, okay, guide me, and truly, truly, truly mean that and allow that, the universe will guide us. I don't believe that the universe leaves anybody out. However, we have to agree that we will allow and incorporate the guidance within ourselves, and it comes from a sense of being very, very humble, and you have to really be mindful to let go of that ego, because we feel like we always have to control and manipulate everything. And I believe through that control and manipulation, we interfere with the divine inspiration. And I kind of think that's why humanity has gotten to the point where it is right now. And these shifts of energy are hopefully allowing us to remember to allow that divine inspiration to come into our lives. And we have to agree. We have to say, okay, guide me. And once we say that and we truly mean that, I know, and I truly believe that the guidance and inspiration does come to us.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think people, Ray, are starting to pick up on that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're totally convinced yet, because there still is that kind of strange fear factor going on, but I really agree that if they just get out of their own way, which is what I call it, that's that ego you're talking about, out of your own way, it really does turn out okay.
Yeah. See, you know what, we're never, you know, our generation, I mean, when we were younger, we were never really taught to trust that intuitive nature. You know, and I believe with the children these days, I think that energy, I'm hoping, is going to be a little bit different, so we'll have to see how that plays out.
Well, you know, and this is one of my topics that I talk about all the time, Ray, is because I have my 501c3, which is called the Child's Miracle Mind, and it really is to help these children that are here now mm-hmm. to make it through everything, because a lot of the systems that we are in and a lot of the systems that have been kind of shoved down our throats are not going to be the same systems that's going to be going on. And these kids truly are very, very intelligent, and they don't want that same energy, because they've actually had to lower their energy in order to meet ours, because ours hasn't grown like it should. And so a lot of these children that are diagnosed or labeled or whatever words you want to choose as ADD, ADHD, you know, I have a problem with that, because I believe they're just really, really intelligent, and they're very bored.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's where, you know, I'm coming in, and then I'm trying to open what's called the School of Now, which is to help the 20% of kids that are slipping through the cracks, okay, mm-hmm. and especially help the ones that are, you know, really focused and multitasking all the time, but they don't seem like it. You know, and in the School of Now, they would also be taught all the metaphysical techniques that they already know, that they're not hearing about now.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's very interesting. I don't know if you look at charts when you work with these children, but the children that were born in the late 80s and early 90s during the Uranus Neptune conjunction, mm-hmm. those are really the ones that you were talking about. Specifically, they'll have Uranus and Neptune in their first house conjunct their ascendant, and I've just through. You know, some that I have come across myself that has been a constant factor. And, yeah, I agree with you completely. They don't know how to use this tremendous, tremendous amount of brilliant energy that they have. And, unfortunately, you know, the parents, it's kind of like, you know, it's so much easier to just, you know what, take a pill and everything's mm-hmm. going to be okay. You know, when they put their children on Ritalin or whatever it is that they may do these days, those are the children who need to really be inspired to work with this energy, because they are the ones who are going to really make the changes once they get older.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a birth date, and I want you to kind of just tell me a little bit about that. It's my granddaughter's birth date. She was born February 2nd, 2000.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow. Okay. you know what time, but would you know an Aquarian?
Yes,
what time of day?
It was at 11:39 or 11:40, right in that time, and I believe they consider it Schaumburg.
11:40 a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
Okay, I'm just trying to think in my head what which. Well, she's an Aquarius, so February 2nd, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look and see what I'd have to actually construct a chart. However, just from my own, you know, actually, is this your daughter's child?
Yes.
Do you have a? Okay. She actually. Is your mother crossed over, Nancy?
No. She's 85 and going strong.
Okay. No, no, that's fine. Because I'm sensing there's a strong female presence around her, and it's coming from your side of the family. Just my first instance was your mother that's with this child. However, you know, that's just an FYI. With her, I think that, you know, she's got a tremendous amount of creative energy, and she also has a very, very strong willpower. Was she just, when she came into the world, did she just come, was there like a sense of determination when she came into the world?
Oh, yes, she's very determined.
She's got, that's what my strongest sense for her is, her willpower. It's almost like she's an Aquarius, but she's like a Leo, that she just like roars like a lion, and she's got a very, very strong sense of will and determination, as well as creativity. And if she could combine those energies, I think she'll be brilliant.
Yeah, we're working on them. That she is the reason why I put together my 501c3.
I want you to, just when you get a chance, just email me the information, because I want to actually look at the chart. I just gave you my own psychic sense, but I want to actually look at her chart. So when you can, email me her information. Date of birth, time of birth, and the city where she was born. Because she's got her determination is very strong. She's got a very, very strong will and determination.
No, yes, we deal with it all the time.
Well, there you go. Well, her energy clearly came through to me. So if she can do that, imagine what she's going to do when she gets older.
And that's fortunately, like you're telling her.
Fortunately, she has you to guide her. And, you know, I'm not sure who that female energy is, but she's got it's almost just like a beautiful angelic figure that's just kind of like watching over her and guiding her. And this female energy, whoever it is, it's coming from your side of the family.
I am a great grandmother who is full-blooded American Indian who probably comes and visits, but I'm also a Leo.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Wow, good for you.
Yeah. So, Ray, let's give out the name of your book again and your website so people can get your book, and then I'm going to ask you some more questions.
My website is astrologerray.com, one word, astrologerray.com, and the book is called The Planet Aligned So Rare, 12 Dimensions to the Human Potential.
And they can get it.
Oh, the purchase information is on my website, and Barnes & Noble carries the book, as well as Borders, Amazon, and a few other websites as well. It's always available online, and also if you go to Barnes & Noble, some have them in the stores, and some you might have to order them, but it's always available. So.
I have another question for you, Ray.
Sure.
When there are twins born, there's a little difference in their charts, I would think, right?
Sometimes the differences are, sometimes you have significant differences, and sometimes the differences are very, very subtle. Actually, you just kind of, it's interesting that you say that. Just this afternoon, I was visiting with one of my cousins, who really is my sister, who just has a 6-month-old twin boys. Now, they were born a minute apart, so their charts, very, very similar. They're almost identical. However, you know, I always, when it comes to twins, I say regardless of how identical their charts may seem, there are subtle differences, and these individuals are still individual energies, and they will use those energies accordingly based on their own free will. So with a twin, it kind of supersedes, you know, the physical aspects of the chart, because I also believe that, you know, even though our astrological chart, those energies are encoded within us, that snapshot of those planetary positions at the moment that we were born, That will never change. That we carry with us throughout our lives. However, I do believe that the vibration of those charts can change. Planetary energies have different vibrations. I believe that as we evolve during the time that we are here and our understanding of ourselves, those planetary energies, even though they remain the same, they move to a different octave, they move to a different level, they move to a different vibration. So I believe with twins, because each one of those are unique energies in and of themselves, and they operate on different vibrations through their free will, they will each use their charts differently.
Okay, because a lot of times people say, well, I have twins, you know, and, you know, they're probably going to be alike. It's like, well, no, not really.
No, no. And there are differences. They may be very subtle differences. However, those differences are there because they were not born at the exact moment in time. I've had twins that have completely, that are born, you know, 5 minutes apart, and they can literally have different charts. The rising signs can change. The moon sign can change. You know, so many, because everything is constantly in motion, you know, things are changing moment by moment, and the children are not born at the exact moment. There are time differences. So there will be different individuals, and they are individuals.
Right. Why do you think it's so important that people have a total chart done rather than read that daily horoscope thing?
Oh, my goodness. I cringe when I hear people. Personally, I cringe when I hear people reading their horoscopes. Actually, a couple of years ago, I was offered a position to write for one of the bigger tabloids, a horoscope column. I won't say which one. And I was like, you know what, I don't think I could do that. Actually, maybe I can do it for like a month or two, but even that would be a stretch. But, you know, that is just, I kind of feel that kind of belittles what we do as astrologers. You know, those horoscope columns, they say that, you know, basically, you know, there are only 12 types of personalities, and 30 million people are going to have the exact same experience on any given day. And it's only looking at one tiny aspect of an astrological chart. When you're looking at a chart, I mean, you're literally factoring in thousands of points. All the planetary energies are there. The sun and the moon is there, not just one sun sign, you know. And depending on how that sun relates to the other planets, you know, you're really, it'd be quite impossible to, you know, encompass all that in a horoscope column. So unless, you know, you have a competent astrologer looking at your chart and really seeing what's happening, you know, I don't think you're going to get an accurate interpretation of what's going on in your life.
Yeah, and I tell people that because they'll say, well, I read my chart this morning and it said da 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 da. And I go just like you've got to be kidding me. You know? And I tell them, if you're gonna want to do that, then truly get yourself a really good astrologer and let
absolutely.
Them do a true chart for you.
Yeah.
You know, so that you'll know really what they all mean. Because I tell people, if you're going to really read those things, then read the sun sign, the ascendant sign, and the moon sign. And if you don't know those, then don't read them.
Yeah, then don't bother. Yeah. You know, every once in a while, just for chuckles, I'll, like, look at them myself, just for my own. And I tell you, I could read all 12 of them and find something. You know what I'm saying? In all of them. So you really.
Now, Ray, do you go out and do, like, lectures and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know? Sure. And wherever, and again, though the event, my events and my appearances are listed in the events and appearances section on my website. I've appeared at bookstores. I've appeared at some, you know, local events. Yes, I do that. And when I do that, all that information is listed on my website.
Okay. Now give out the name of your book again and your website again, please.
The website is astrologerray.com. That's one word, astrologerray.com. The book is called The Planets Align So Rare, 12 Dimensions to the Human Potential, and you can find it at Barnes & Noble in the store as well as online and at Amazon.com online.
Okay, great. How long does it take, if maybe you can answer me, in years for the planets to actually align? like they're going to? To like 26,000 years or?
When
they're talking about 2012, let's say.
See, actually, I don't think that that exact planetary, the planets will go through cycles, and they will transit, they will all transit throughout the zodiac. However, the exact, planetary alignment, I don't think it ever really is duplicated. Because, you think about it, we have the sun and the moon, and we have the other nine heavenly bodies, and they're always constantly in motion. Their patterns will never be duplicated. They will repeat cycles depending on, depending on the planets. However, the patterns that are encoded at any given time, I'm not sure if those ever are repeated because there are so many different combinations of energies. I'll give you an example. Right now we have the planet Saturn. The Saturn-Uranus is in opposition to one another. The last time that happened was maybe, it may have been the early part of the 1900s. It's escaping me, but that pattern happened, fairly frequently. However, what was different was how the other planets were relating to that planetary energy. So the cycles may be repeated. However, how that cycle relates to the other planetary energies will probably never be repeated. So it is something very unique and very, very rare. And it also has to do with how these energies manifest the consciousness of humanity.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants a chart done, Ray, and say they're from Europe, is the time frame different from the way you do the chart than if it's somebody who's like here in, say, the USA?
Well, wherever the individual is born, you cast the chart for that local time. So, if an individual is born 6 o'clock at night in Italy, it's 12 o'clock noon in the United States. You cast it for that local time in Italy, so it would be cast for 6 o'clock p.m. for the city in that country. So it's cast depending on the local time where the individual was born.
Okay. And why is it so important that the person know not just their date of birth and the time, but also the location?
Like I said earlier about the time, about everything is constantly in motion, so that's why you want to be specific with the time. With the location will define the house positions in the chart. Different locations will give different rising signs, will give different house positions. So that's, really why the location is significant. That will cast the house position in the chart.
Now, there are a lot of different kinds of charts that people can have done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Basically, a lot of us are familiar with the natal chart. That is the chart that's cast for the exact moment that we were born. But there are also transits to that chart, which are the planetary energies on any given day and how they relate to those natal energies. There's also what's called a solar return chart. That chart is cast for your birth date, depending where you are on your birth date for any given year, and it kind of gives a backdrop of what your year is going to be like. And, there's also what's called planetary progressions, which calculate how the natal planets are moving depending on the year of the life of the individual. So personally, I work with the natal chart, the transits to that natal chart, and the eclipses during the year. I don't always use too many other charts, and that's just my practice and what works for me. I try to stay with the basics, you know, I think there's a lot of information with the basics, though. But, you know, other astrologers may use different kind of charts. I mean, there's so many kind of charts out there. I don't think we even have enough time to really talk about all that. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know there's, like, a lot of them. When people want to find out if somebody's going to be compatible with them,
mm-hmm.
do they also need their date of birth, their time, and everything else to make it? Okay,
yeah,
and what
oh,
if they...
Sure.
What if they're missing, say, the time?
Well, I mean, it provided you have at least one of the birth times accurate and correct, you can, you know what, you can work with just an individual date of birth, the place that we were born, and you would just use a sunrise chart and compare the questionable chart with the one that is certain. However, if two individuals came to me and they were very, very serious about their relationship, one had the time, I would strongly suggest that the other one, there are ways that you can, if you're born in the United States, that you can find out what time you were born. There are records. You would contact the Department of Vital Statistics. So if there was someone, you know, who was very serious about a relationship, I would strongly, you know, urge them to do whatever they can to find out that information. And if the information's not available, then, you know, we do the best we can with the information that we have. So,
okay, I'm going to ask you one more quick question,
okay.
And then you're going to give out your website again.
Okay.
And that question is, do you think, Ray, if a family would have a chart done on each individual person in that family, and then a compatibility chart that would put them all together, that they would be able to be a better working family as far as who they are and what they do?
You can see probably get a better understanding of how the dynamic of the energy works with all the individuals, and certainly it can offer them, you know, some greater information and understanding how to take the dynamic of that energy and work with it with one another. It'd be a bit of a daunting task, but it can be done. So.
Okay, now one more time before we have to go off air, give out your website and the name of your book.
All right, the website is astrologerray.com. That's astrologerray.com. The book is called The Planets Align So Rare, 12 Dimensions to the Human Potential. You can find it at Barnes & Noble in their bookstores and online, as well as Amazon.com online.
Great. Our time is like up, right? It went by so quickly.
It certainly did, didn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I hope you had a great time. I had a wonderful time having you. And
Thank you. So
we'll stay in touch because there's other things I'm going to talk to you about when it comes to
absolutely.
My school and stuff. Okay, Ray?
Okay, Nancy. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did and Ray did too. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. And I hope that your New Year's went all right and everybody is looking at a better New Year and a better outlook. May God bless all of you. Take care. And we'll talk later. Bye now.